Welcome to Money Sense. I'm Julie Ellenbecker, president of Ellenbecker Investment Group. EIG believes in the importance of education, allowing people to gain the knowledge to feel confident in their personal decisions. This show highlights the unique financial perspectives of its many guests, including economists, attorneys, book authors, business owners, and tax professionals. It is provided for general information purposes only and does not consider your particular investment objectives or financial situation and is not intended as recommendations appropriate for you. Before acting on information on this show, strongly consider seeking advice from your own financial advisor. The opinions expressed on Money Sense do not necessarily reflect the opinions of Ellenbecker Investment Group employees and leaders. Please enjoy today's show.
Money Sense is brought to you by Ellenbecker Investment Group, four-time recipient of the Better Business Bureau Torch Award for business ethics and integrity. Ellenbecker Investment Group is the only Wisconsin investment company to receive this prestigious award more than once by providing exceptional planning and extraordinary service each and every day. Go to ellenbecker.com and listen to Money Sense Saturdays at 2 and Sundays at noon.
Welcome to Money Sense. I'm Heather Deaton, Wealth Advisor for Ellenbecker Investment Group. Ellenbecker Investment Group is located in Pewaukee, just north of I-94, between Highway 164 and Highway F in the Ridgeview Corporate Park. And we're also in the village of Whitefish Bay in the Equitable Bank building across from Winkies. We also serve as clients in Bonita Springs, Florida. So you can visit ellenbecker.com for more details. My guest today is April DeVolcanaire, CEO and forensic accountant for Fortress Forensic Investigators. April, thanks so much for joining me today.
Thank you, Heather. I appreciate you having me.
Yeah. So with that kind of title, with that kind of company you work for, it may or may not be obvious to our listeners that we're going to be talking about some scams today. Now, we work with so many clients here and so many people, not just even people that we work with. It's also we're noticing this across our friends and family network that scams are out there. Scams are everywhere. The criminals are getting smarter. Technology is helping. So I thought we should dive into some of the new things to be aware of, and ways to prevent and ways to report and all the different things that you know through your work, April.
That sounds great.
Yeah.
I'm so excited.
So why don't you start by giving us a little background on yourself, and you can even lead into the topic that we're going to talk about today.
Certainly. As you had mentioned, I am a forensic accountant, and I have experience as a former banker, former law enforcement officer. I've worked in a prosecutor's office for more than a decade, and now I am in the private sector, essentially still doing the same thing, and I'm helping victims of financial crimes and their advocates. And so that really culminates when we talk about AI scams, because a lot of people can no longer identify the difference between real and fake when it comes to AI, because it is so difficult for the naked eye to really see what those potential differences are.
So when we say AI, that stands for artificial intelligence. Artificial is another word for fake. Intelligence is another word for really smart. So this is like really smart fakes that we're talking about. Do you want to share a little bit more about, you know, for our listeners to understand all the different ways that they actually encounter AI in their life? It's got a lot of great value, a lot of great potential. And there's a lot of things happening in the underside, the underworld.
Correct. So what most people don't realize is they use AI every day. If they have email and they check email, right, your email actually provides a filter that will take what they believe to be scams or junk mail and put it into a separate email box for you. So you don't even have to look at those, right? That's AI that is essentially using machine-generated tools or code to essentially say, that doesn't look right to the computer, so we're going to put it over here into a separate compartment for you. There's other ways that you can use it intentionally, meaning if you are looking for a new recipe, you can go online and say, these are the five ingredients I have in my fridge. You know, what can I make for dinner? So there's a number of different ways, you know, Individual people can use it. Businesses can use it to help streamline processes within their organization, to help, you know, streamline the flow of work and, you know, to-do lists, task lists. Maybe somebody's getting ready for a camping trip and they're like, what do I need to take with me?
Right.
AI can be used as a great resource for a lot of those types of things.
And I know it's like useful in planning a trip, like you mentioned camping, but even when you're trying to come up with a great itinerary that's going to match what you and your family want to do for 10 days in a particular place or a particular region, that's a great way to get a list of different things to consider and ways to look at it easily.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And so what we want to really touch base on is that, you know, there are a number of different aspects of the AI, right? So there is generative AI and machine learning AI. We're not going to get into all of that today, but understanding that it's utilized, even if you go to a specific store that you usually like to buy from, right? They are offering to chat with you, right? And they have these AI bots where it's essentially a robot or a machine that's really talking to you versus an actual person like you would call a call center.
So that's it's always on the bottom right-hand corner, right,
yes,
of a website, of your favorite website. It can be your banking institution, definitely on the retail side. I've seen that. And sure, of course, I've used those when I've had a question for them about an order or about a product.
Correct.
Very helpful. And you can tell when they actually bring a real person in.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I had an issue I was working through with a chatbot. Apparently it was a chatbot is the word I should have been using. I knew it was just the computer talking to me.
Mm-hmm.
And then they said, please wait until I get, you know, a XYZ representative, however they worded that,
mm-hmm,
that person's title. And then it, like, you know, the tone changed a little bit and I could tell that it was a person.
Correct. And really, it's a matter of, you know, that's how some businesses are able to identify the fact that they can provide service now 24/7, right? Because they have the ability to use these chat bots where their business is only open from 8 to 5 or, you know, 9 to 6 or whatever the case may be. But they can offer this service to their customers so their customers don't have to wait till the next day to get assistance.
Right. Especially if it's answering a question like, what are your business hours? Right? What's your location? Those are things that, sure, a machine can easily answer, and it doesn't take a person to do that.
Exactly. Even if they just need a helpline or a support email or something like that, it's something that chat bot can provide for them.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. So some of the other things we just wanted to touch base on is really identifying the fact that AI is out there in every aspect, right? So there are aspects of AI that are being utilized, such as voice cloning and video cloning. There's actually software out there now that people can utilize, and it actually can change their voice tone. It can change it from a male to a female or vice versa. It can change their hair color, it can change their skin color, it can change what they're wearing. And so that really gets into what they call the deep fakes. So that's those fraudulent created videos where the AI is actually talking to you, but it sounds like a real person. And in reality, it's not.
Okay.
And so we're actually going to share a video in the show notes for this so that you can get an idea just as an example of how that's actually utilized. And it's a very short video, but it's, I think, very eye-opening for many, many people.
You did share that with me before we started to record, and I had to keep remembering as each of these figures, I guess, right? Each of these things that look like people were reminding us, right, that, hey, this is all fake. I'm AI. I'm fake. I'm not real. Mm-hmm. And in these situations where I kept having to like reframe my brain to say, oh, wait, that's fake. And just wondering, how did they do that? It looked so real.
Mm-hmm.
And I can just imagine how this can be turned against us.
Correct. Correct. So like you had mentioned, AI can be a very useful and productive tool, but it can also be used by criminals. And they are using it as much as they possibly can at this point because it's getting them what they want. And what they want is other people's money.
It's right. It's always comes down to the money. So give a couple high level like examples of some of the things that criminals are doing with AI. We've got a whole show to spend time talking about them. But before our next break, if you just want to touch a little bit on that, and then we'll dive into more details after the break.
Certainly. So criminals are actually using AI now to create fraudulent websites, to create more sophisticated phishing attacks via email or other business email compromises and such like that. They are using it primarily with the voice cloning and the video deepfakes, really to capture that urgent need by someone that they believe that they know and trust.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So we'll get into that after the next break. But yeah, they're utilizing it. Criminals are really utilizing it against us at this point.
Yeah, those are it. When I know what we're going to talk about on some of these. I know many people who have either been scammed or have nearly been scammed by, I think, a lot of those scenarios. So we can dive into that after this short break. Welcome back to Money Sense. I'm Heather Deaton, Wealth Advisor with Ellen Becker Investment Group, and my guest today is April DeValconer, CEO of Fortress Forensic Investigations. And we've been talking about AI scams, technology being used against us by criminals. So let's dive in and tackle. I'd love to get your experience and knowledge about some of these different scams that I know I've seen happen all around me. The one that is my most heartbreaking one is always the family or grandparent, that urgent family member, the grandchild or someone's grown child. Oh my gosh, Dad, I need money. Grandpa, I need money. Don't tell my mom. Tell us more about that.
That is a difficult topic. primarily because the criminal is really grabbing at the heartstrings of the victim.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're pursuing that urgent need. It has to happen right now, you know, or this person's going to go to jail, or it has to happen right now because if you don't, then, you know, they're going to be arrested or whatever the case may be. And because of that urgent need and the request for funds so quickly or through unique circumstances, whether they're claiming to be a bail bondsman or they're claiming, you know, that you have to pay this attorney in order to bail the family member who's out of state, you know, whatever those circumstances are, they are always told not to tell anyone else.
Right.
Not to share it with their spouse, not to share it with their parents, not to share it with whomever may be their normal trusted confidant. Right. And so the criminal really enforces this with them that if they don't do it right at this moment, something horrible is going to happen to their family member. And so a lot of these people that are being manipulated by these criminals really, they get caught up in so in depth in that urgent emotional state of mind that they don't think logically. And so if they give the money or if they don't, right? Either way, they also don't want to talk about it after the fact.
Right.
And that's really, really important for them to talk about it, because what people don't realize, especially in financial crimes, is that only 1 in 44 actually gets reported out of people that have lost money.
That is such a low number if you think about comparing that to other crimes. I would imagine some of that is because they're not sure what's even going to come of it. Some of it is embarrassment. That could be a lot of it. We all have pride. And I, whenever I talk to people that have been manipulated by a criminal, it is not your fault. It's not your fault at all. They do what they know to work in so many cases. They make fear. They lead with fear, that urgency.
Mm-hmm.
And like you said, you're not even able to think clearly. If you can pause for a moment and be like, wait a minute, this doesn't make any sense. How could this really be true? How could I have 4 hours to get bail money, mm-hmm. to get my daughter out of jail in Florida, you know, that where it wouldn't make sense normally How Correct. Do I, was she even in Florida, right?
Like, exactly. Well, and therein lies some of the issue too, right? Is because the criminal will actually use your social media accounts against you. So if you're talking about an upcoming trip, or you're talking about going to a conference, or you're talking about studying abroad, right? For some of our younger listeners, the criminals will actually use that to their benefit. And so they might know that, you know, this young person is going to go study abroad in Australia. And so they reach out to that person's family members who they're friends with on social media and convince them that this particular person in Australia has, you know, fallen victim to something, whether that's a car accident, whether that's
police trouble.
Right. Exactly. Mm-hmm. You know, that they need to help them. And if you call a grandparent, right, in most cases, they are going to help with whatever mechanism they can. And that fake grandchild, meaning the criminal, is actually going to tell them, hey, look, don't tell mom and dad, right? I don't want them to know. I just need your help. And so AI is getting really ramped up to be more and more convincing as we go through these different types of scams that we've seen.
That is really fascinating about all those different connection points and what we share. I'm pausing and just in my brain thinking through, yeah, what we all can end up sharing sometimes on social media. We'll talk about a lot of this in prevention, about how to protect yourself against some of this by using the privacy features that are on social media, being smart about what you share. Mm-hmm. But even just, right, when you're just thinking, I'm sharing about my kid, or I'm sharing about this and how great, you know, look at these things that are wonderful in our life that we're really blessed to have and to do and to experience, and then to realize that that could actually be fueling some of the criminals with more information.
Absolutely. And I just wanted to go back to it for a moment. You had mentioned the fear aspect.
Mm-hmm.
And one other thing that we had not yet talked about is what is really targeting some of our younger adults, right? High school and college young people who are actually being targeted for sextortion
mm-hmm.
by AI, the criminals that are utilizing AI. And sextortion is really taking advantage of things that they've posted on social media. Maybe they are in a sport that they, mm-hmm. you know, posting on there, hey, we won the football game, or we, you know, won the gymnastics tournament, or, you know, we placed first in gymnastics, or whatever the case may be, right? Criminals are actually using that against them now and creating fake profiles and spoofing those phone numbers to convince the person that originally posted it that they are their significant other.
Wow.
And using that then to convince them to provide inappropriate photos.
Right.
And then
use that against them.
They use it against them. Absolutely. Mm. And we've actually seen a couple of stories. I work with a nonprofit that does financial crimes investigations. And we had a very heartbreaking story of a family who lost their son within 6 hours of the criminal actually confronting him or you know, convincing him that he was mm-hmm. the girlfriend, which obviously it was not. It was a criminal. But actually got to the point of actually convincing him to commit suicide because mm-hmm. he couldn't handle what the criminals were going to do with the photos that he had shared, thinking that they were going to his girlfriend.
Yeah, there's a lot of tragedy all around that story.
Yes. And what we've actually seen now is we originally thought that sextortion was really only about younger individuals potentially taking their lives. And what we've seen now as these AI scams get more and more sophisticated is that we are now seeing older adults actually getting to that point where they're so entrenched in the AI scam that they believe it to be true, and they're already alone and they're already isolated from the outside world, that they are now also to the aspect of taking their own lives in some cases. So it's heartbreaking all the way around. Mm-hmm. And part of that is because they won't share that information with their family members.
Right, right. It's scary. There's a lot of shame there. And that can really, yeah, spiral down. So on that note, if we think about, you know, other types of the AI scams, we talked about family members and that part of it. What else are you seeing?
Well, there's a few things that we're seeing. I think we'll talk one now and then maybe a couple more after the next break. But the business aspect of what we're seeing with AI scams are the phishing attacks. The increase between 2024 and 2025, there's a 465% increase in phishing attacks that are now AI generated. And those attacks are not as simple as they used to be to identify, right? You used to be able to look for the typos, or you used to be able to look for the URL and figure out, you know, is this accurate? Is this not? Does it look right? With AI, now it all looks right because they have created fake websites to really bolster the phishing attack.
Right.
And so they're getting through more and more often, meaning that they're acquiring money for more and more victims, whether they're small businesses, whether they're large companies. We've had some here in our local area just recently that hundreds of thousands, if not millions of dollars that were lost to these criminals, truly because they were using AI and it was too difficult for the people that were reviewing those requests to identify the fact that they were fraudulent.
Well, and that's like even, again, in a business setting or a nonprofit that I help out on, there's a lot of information on company and organizations' websites about who are the board members, who are their leaders, who are the employees, right?
Absolutely.
And so when they can say, oh, how about, you know, I'm going to, it looks like it's an email that's asking you to pay a receipt that the leader of the company or the leader of the nonprofit asked you to pay, you know, asked you to remit payment for. That's something to always double check.
Absolutely. And double check in person, right?
Right. Yeah.
Talk to them and say, hey, is this legitimate? Because there's actually a case out there where someone had actually created an entire deep fake virtual meeting where everybody on the virtual meeting was actually a deep fake AI generated individual, with the exception of the one person from the company. Everybody else looked like they did on the website. Right.
Mm.
And so they were in a meeting and I think it was the CFO had actually asked them during the virtual meeting to wire funds. And they thought it was legitimate because it was a virtual meeting. They're like, I can see them on the screen. And
right.
They wired a significant amount of money. And it was all deep fake AI generated.
That's pretty wild.
You know,
yeah.
So if it's out of character for someone, a CFO, a COO, whoever, to ask you to pay out a receipt or to wire funds or what have you, even in a meeting, go talk to them.
Right.
When you're done with that meeting, go talk to them and say, hey, look, this is not how you usually make these requests.
Yeah.
Right?
If it's out of the normal process, especially.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Right. You want to go and verify.
And that's just partly what we're going to have to do, again, to protect ourselves and protect our organizations and all those around us.
Correct. Absolutely. And I think we'll get into a couple more with regards to financial grooming and investment scams after the break.
That sounds great. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Money Sense. I'm Heather Deaton, wealth advisor of Ellen Becker Investment Group, and my guest today is April DeValconer, CEO and forensic accountant with Fortress Forensic Investigations. So, April, we've been talking about all these different AI scams, and I know there's a few left. There's probably many, many out there, but the ones that we wanted to highlight today, there's a couple left. So take us through, you know, in addition to the family in trouble and, you know, some like very personalized attacks like that, what else should we be on the lookout for?
The two primary issues that we really want to be focusing on are financial grooming. And that typically starts off with a relationship, and whether that's somebody that just, you know, met someone online, whether they want to start a dating relationship or if they want to just talk to someone maybe after their spouse has passed away, they just want some verbal communication with someone, maybe not an intimate relationship, but just someone to talk to on a regular basis. So the financial grooming aspects really in regards to how they work essentially is they start off as a relationship scam. And then over a period of time, and that period of time could be a week, 3 weeks, 3 months, or 18 months. It really varies depending on the criminal and how much time they're going to invest in each victim. But they will essentially start off in smaller aspects of asking for money. They'll start it just as a loan or they're borrowing money, and then later on it gets into investments. But from there, it's a matter of, you know, they are going to essentially get the victim to trust what it is that they're doing, right? They're going to say, hey, look, you know, you can get this opportunity to invest in, say, crypto or something else. And these AI generated criminals will, you know, they will do anything. If you say, nope, I don't want to deal with crypto, I know that we don't want to trust crypto, right? They're like, okay, well, what about these investments? Maybe you could just go in and invest in a platform that is very well known, you know, that has legitimate investing opportunities that you can do it yourself, or you can go through a broker. But what is actually occurring on the back end is the AI generated criminal is creating AI fake websites that make it look like that investment platform. You're going to log in, you're going to give it all of your PII or your personal identifying information. You're going to utilize it to make your first deposit, right? Which means you're giving the criminal your banking information to make that initial deposit. And in reality, they're using that for a few things. First of all, because they want to get all of your information so they can steal your identity. They want to get all of your information so that they can actually utilize your banking information to take money out of your account without your knowledge, or to utilize it from an aspect of being able to open other accounts in your name because you've given them all of this information, not realizing that it is a criminal. And so this financial grooming process, like I said, can be short or it can be long, but it's a matter of, because it's AI generated and AI is really the source of how they're doing it, these criminals can actually now create digital footprints for fake people. So these people that they're claiming to be investment brokers or claiming to be, you know, people that are willing to help them earn more money or find a way to help put their children through college or help pay for, you know, aspects of their grandkids' sports or whatever the case may be, they are looking at it from an aspect of, okay, there needs to be believability behind this. So they're not only creating those fake websites, but they're creating these AI-generated digital footprints, right? They're going to create social media accounts in these fake people's names to make it seem legit.
So when you do the due diligence of trying to see who it is that you're communicating with, you actually see something that looks, like you just said, legit.
Right.
And that gives you more comfort with what your decisions are, even though you're really just being, you're just being manipulated and fooled, right? To no fault of your own, you're doing what you need to be doing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's really you know, disheartening to think there's so many ways that we create relationships with people, and to know that AI can be used in online relationships, even when they're not just you know, just texting or just social media posts. It can be used in a lot of different ways, especially if you do communicate with that fake person, you know, live. I'm using air quotes of live.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And so that's really where we need to make sure that we're putting extra precautions into this, because one of the other pieces that a lot of people think about is they're like, well, if it's AI generated, it's on the other side of the world, right? That none of it is domestic. And I don't want to burst anybody's bubble, but there's a lot of people here doing it domestically, right?
Right.
Meaning within the U.S. And so there are people that we can hold accountable here within our own state, outside of our state, that we can actually, if we can find them and we have enough documentation and evidence that we can prove, right, like we can actually hold these people accountable for what they're doing. But in order to do that, we need people to do those due diligence along with other aspects of things that we're going to talk about here as we get into the prevention, right? Because we had also mentioned the investment scams.
Mm-hmm.
And so maybe you don't have a relationship with someone, but you're trying to learn how to invest, right? Younger people are realizing how important it is that they need to invest early. Older adults are looking at the aspect of investment because they want to figure out what to do with their retirement? And, you know, do they have enough to retire? Are they ready to retire? Those types of things.
All things that Ellen Becker Investment Group advisors can answer. So call the office at 262-691-3200 instead of looking online for your sourcing on that. And all kidding aside, I know that you're talking about something that many people do, you know, online searches and looking for clubs and groups and things that they can be a part of.
Absolutely. But there's resources out there like BrokerCheck, right, where they can actually log on and find out if your security advisor is actually licensed. You know, are they licensed in your state to be able to sell securities and investments to you? You know, one of the things that we've noticed in some of these investigations and such is that we have actual investment advisors who go beyond their legal authority and start their own companies. And they are now taking in investments, you know, outside of their company, and they're doing it on their own. And you know, they're utilizing criminal activity in which to do so. There's other options, too. You can reach out to the Wisconsin Department of Financial Institutions. In Florida, I think it's their Secretary of State. And so, you know, there's different things that you can reach out to from them as well to verify that if the broker that you're trying to work with or this person that's trying to sell you an investment is legitimate and whether or not they have the authority to help you invest.
Right. A lot of that is proceed with caution.
Correct.
Right. And do what you need to do to make sure you're making an informed decision.
Correct.
Well, let's take another break. When we get back, we can talk more about prevention and also about what happens if you are manipulated and what do you do as a next step. We'll be right back.
Sounds great.
Welcome back to Money Sense. I'm Heather Deaton, Wealth Advisor with Ellen Becker Investment Group, and my guest today is April DeValconaire, CEO and Forensic Accountant with Fortress Forensic Investigations. So, April, we've talked about a bunch of different scams, all things to be really aware of. You know, having more people talk about what they've seen and heard is how we all learn from one another as to what to just remember to be a bit more wary of. That is one of the things I think of when I think of prevention, right, is sharing your story with others and listening to other people's stories and remembering that no one's invincible on this. So that's just my couple of cents over here. Share more with us about the ways to prevent, how to protect yourself, how to protect your family. And then again, what to do if you have been victimized.
Certainly. First and foremost, I think every family needs to have a code word, right? Code words are so vitally important when it comes to potential criminal activity and scams. If someone is calling saying that they are a grandparent or a grandchild in trouble or a son and a daughter or what have you, they need to have a specific word that only the family knows. And so the family member can ask this person on the phone who should know what this is, right? And say, hey, if you can't provide that code word, hang up on them, right? Because it's not somebody that they need to be talking to. Your very next call should be the person that was being impersonated, right? So if it's your son claiming to have been calling, then after you hang up on the criminal, call your son, ask him if he's okay. Ask him where he's at. You know,
ask him for the code word.
Absolutely.
Right. Make sure you're talking to your son.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And so, you know, that first and foremost, every family needs to have a code word. I know that it seems very basic, but it has really, in the cases that we've helped work, it's really been very helpful to all parties involved to really try to stop it before money starts changing hands.
And just to put that pause and that break in there, I've got friends who one of their you know, post-college kids travels out of the country quite often, and they have a code word, and they have the whole thing locked down to where only mom and dad are able to know that code word. So anytime if any of those grandparents got calls, they know to say, I don't even know your code word, and you got to call your mom and dad. This is a total rule that's how he got to go on that trip, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that kind of habit and that rigor to really stick with it is really important.
Absolutely. It's yes, one of the best things that you can do.
Mm-hmm.
I think some of the other things, can be as simple as freezing your credit, right? If you are not in the market right now to refinance your house, your buy a car or what have you, you know, applying for student loans, make sure that your credit is frozen. It doesn't mean that you can't use your current credit. It just means that no additional accounts are going to be opened without your knowledge, because there is such a prevalence of personal identifying information that has been released, right, through data breaches upon data breaches, that your information is out there somewhere. And so we want to shut that down as much as possible. And that way, only you get notified if something is occurring on your credit or someone's trying to open an account in your name.
That's one of my favorite life hacks, is the credit freeze. I tell people about that all the time as well. Mm-hmm. My credit's been frozen for a long time. Example, you know, we had to renew our open home equity line of credit in case we needed it. And they told me what reporting agency they were going to pull the credit from. They told me the day they were going to do it. So I knew to go out to that reporting agency, set it to unfreeze on Tuesday and refreeze on Thursday because they were doing it Wednesday. It was perfect. I can't like second that enough about how important that credit freeze is and how easy it was.
Absolutely. You can do that online. There are other aspects as well. But yes, it is a very simple process. You know, people can do a number of different things. You can create your My Social Security account. You can, you know, set up the land recording notification service so that if you have property in your county or in other counties, maybe you have, you know, a cottage up north, you'll get notified if something gets filed on your property, like a lien, and you don't have to wait to find out when you're going for a home equity line of credit,
right,
or you're trying to refinance or you're trying to sell your home. But other aspects specifically with regards to AI really is being skeptical of unsolicited messages is really important. Unusual requests or at unusual times, right? Your boss is not going to send you a request to wire money at 2 o'clock in the morning, right? That might be somebody that's in a different time zone,
right,
who didn't realize, right? They're just making the request and it might be a different time zone and where they're located. So, you know, even though the request might not be unusual, the time might be, you know, verifying the caller or sender identities, like you had said with the code word, right?
Yep.
You're not necessarily going to have a code word at work though. So if it's something, you know, from the CEO or CFO that we need to make sure that is legitimate, if it's a large wire, if it's something with regards to investments, right? We just need to make sure that we're verifying all of those aspects and not getting upset with other individuals, say your broker, who maybe doubles and triple checks with you,
right,
about a specific request and the
right
use of those funds, because they are trying to protect you in everything that you do, right? And so trying to make sure that you're not getting defensive when they're asking you questions, but knowing that they're there for your safety.
The other part that we do here is we also, when we get a client that has a very urgent request, we know to be careful and work with them to find out more. So that can also uncover if they're being scammed. So remembering that if something doesn't feel right, find your trusted people, right?
Mm-hmm.
As advisors here, we are our clients' trusted people. And we're going to have their back and we're going to watch for things like that. And that is, you know, again, like you said, that's one of the reasons why we need to slow down a little bit sometimes to make sure that everything is totally legit and nobody is being taken advantage of.
Absolutely. And one of the things you can do then is to make sure that you're documenting everything,
right?
If this is an investment, if this is a wire, if this is a whatever, if there is money that's going to change hand, document who did you talk to? When did you talk to them? Under what circumstances did you talk to them? You know, meaning, was it a phone call? Was it a text? Was it an email? Whatever the case may be, and document absolutely everything. Because then when your broker or somebody else comes to you and asks you, right, it's not like you're going to forget the sequence of events.
Right.
But if somebody has become a victim of this, right, they've been manipulated by a criminal, some of the different aspects that we need to make sure that we're taking into consideration is we want you to report it. And first and foremost, you need to be reporting it to your financial institution, your investment mm-hmm. advisors, anybody that's holding your money.
Right.
Is
right.
First and foremost. I know a lot of people are like, hey, we need to talk to law enforcement. Not first. Yes, you will get there. But first, call the money, call the people that are holding your funds, because you want to make sure that you're stopping anything that you did not authorize. So do that first. And then from there, we can get to the aspects of reporting it on IC3.gov, which is the Internet Crime Complaint Center.gov, and, you know, your local law enforcement, the Federal Trade Commission. If it involves cryptocurrency, you want to report that on Chain Abuse, because although the FBI runs the IC3, they may not have sufficient staff to get to all of the different requests that come in because they have thousands of them every day. Right. So Chain Abuse actually has some additional resources there where they can help look at these more quickly. And so we want to make sure that people are reporting, because that is actually how we're aggregating some of these totals and crimes, so that we can actually go after people, even if they are not located domestically. We can actually go overseas and pursue these investigations and shut some of these AI generated or AI powered scams down.
Well, and we have to know about them, right? We have to know more to learn about them, share that information. Podcasts like this, right? Radio shows like this, talking to your friends and neighbors and family members to make sure they understand, you know, things that you know are out there. Because not everybody hears the same information. And just, you know, being transparent to your level of comfort to be able to, you know, not be too embarrassed to help others learn from what you've seen and what maybe you have experienced.
Absolutely. They just, people need to realize that they're not the only ones out there that have been victimized by these criminals, because there are a significant number of people out there and a lot of them don't feel comfortable talking about it. Right. And it's the only way we're going to slow this progression down.
Yeah. Well, April, thanks so much for joining today. I've learned so much in this time together. If our listeners wanted to learn more about the work you do, what's a good way for them to get in touch with you?
They can just reach out to my website, protectyourfortress.com, and they can, my email's on there. They can certainly shoot me an email or give me a call, and we can discuss any questions or concerns that they might have.
That's great. Thank you so much. And remember that Money Sense airs on Saturdays from 2 to 3 p.m. and on Sundays from 12 to 1 p.m. If you enjoyed today's show and you want to learn more about EIG and any of our upcoming events, you can visit ellenbecker.com or call the office at 262-691-3200. As always, I hope that this show has made a difference in your personal and financial well-being, and remembering that before we plan, before we advise, before we invest, we always listen.